After a few weeks away, our White Ranger Michael returns from his vacation. Upon his return, he and Sasha begin their preparations. But unbeknownst to them, they'll be getting a little more than they planned for.
Mike! You're back! How was your vacation?
It was good. Relaxed, played video games, went to some sporting events, was much needed and long overdue.
Are you sure it wasn't a massively destructive root beer-fueled sugar high?
Legally, I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah, I've been there. But relax, you deserve the break. You've done 57 straight episodes of Voices from the Grid.
Technically 90 consecutive episodes, but we really can't talk about that.
And yet, this is the second time you've mentioned it this season.
They were dark, dark times.
Right. Ben! And Brian?
Brian?
Good to have you back, Mike. How was the vacation?
Long overdue and relaxing. But the real question is, what are you guys doing here? This is a Sasha and Mike episode.
Well, I'm glad that you asked, Michael. Brian and I here because we have glorious news for you. Brian, if you will.
We're giving you guys an additional episode to do.
What?
Indeed! The two of you are now the proud beneficiaries of the Dreaming of a White Ranger episode for reviewing.
Hold on now. That's a Christmas episode. Mike and I are Jewish.
And we felt that it would be best if the episode were to be paired up with the episodes that you're already covering, rather than having it as a solo episode that lasts a total of 5 minutes.
And besides, it's a great episode for you two to do. You always get the good ones.
But yeah, we're going to head off now so you two can record.
See you.
Bye.
Why do I feel like I've just been sold a rock that'll keep tigers away?
This is unbelievable! The audacity! I will have my revenge upon them! They will cower in the face of my might, for I am Doom!
Sasha, while channeling Dr. Doom, again, is an appropriate response to this. Let's be honest. This is payback.
Payback? For what?
Come on. You know.
Oh, Kirby.
Yeah. Let's just bite the bullet and get this over with.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I am your lovely host this evening. You've heard my voice before. You know who I am. I am the mighty and beautiful Sasha Kaplan. And joining me today is our former primary host. Now he's taking a break, and that is the man, not a myth, but still a legend, Michael Lindenbaum.
Yay, I'm back from my vacation. This is literally my first episode back from vacation, and then go figure, I have to go host the very next episode with Ben.
Well, you've had a break, you know. We will be doing all those group episodes by the time this airs, so you just get to sit back, relax, and make snarky comments. I know it's going to be so hard for you, but anyway, we're actually going to flip the script a little bit, and we're going to start with the ironic episode. The hilarious episode. Like, you heard our intro. You know what this is. Mike, the two Jews are hosting Dreaming of a White Ranger, which it doesn't even make And the episode title doesn't even make sense.
Okay, the only reason the episode title makes sense is because you want to play off of the words of Dreaming of a White Christmas. The only thing that you can do ranger-wise is Dreaming of a White Ranger, which there actually is a White Ranger, so it makes sense.
Uh-huh. And what is this? What does the title of this episode have to do with the plot?
Absolutely nothing.
There it is. There it is. So we open in a at the juice bar, because there's nowhere else. We have two sets, the high school and the juice bar, and Zordon's command, three sets, excuse me, and Zordon's command center, right?
Four sets.
We're not counting the moon. The moon doesn't count.
No. I'm talking about the other set that they're going to go to later in the episode.
Oh, that's right.
We'll get to that, because I have some things I want to say about that.
Yeah, so the Rangers are helping some kids put together a holiday festival. It's literally just a Christmas festival.
I mean, I will give them credit. They do have, albeit in the back of the juice bar, a pretty nice looking Hanukkah setup. They do actually try to put some representation there.
Nope.
It's minimal.
Nope. I'm not giving them credit. First of all, because the word Jewish is not uttered in this entire episode. Neither is the word Hanukkah. They literally just sing the dreidel song and that's it. Well, Hanukkah is uttered in the context of singing Hanukkah, oh Hanukkah, we light the menorah. That's it. That's not representation. That is like, that's not even, that's just pathetic.
That's just throwing a bone. Here's your bone. Have fun with it.
Which, like, this is kind of pathetic also when you consider the fact that the person that made Power Rangers accessible to an American audience is Jewish.
And if I remember right, Saban is from Israel, too.
Yeah, well, he was born in Egypt, and then in 48, and then, like, during some shenanigans between Israel and Egypt, the family, I think, like, escaped and made their way to Israel.
Yeah. The statement still stands.
Yes.
Still technically from Israel.
Yes.
But, so I got notes.
Okay. So tell us about the Christmas setup.
So I just want to throw it out there. It's Christmas time and I hate it, which is pretty much me once Halloween's over anyways. I just want the last 2 months to go away as quickly as possible. You have a girl who's upset, but Tommy brightens her day by letting her put the star on the tree.
Because child actors are always such a blessing in Power Rangers.
You know, I'm totally feeling Bulk right now. Because Bulk is just grumpy. Because later on, he's got to be Santa. Santa. So he's grumpy. I totally feel Bulk. Skull tries to steal a kiss from Kim. That sly dog.
He does, though. He kisses her on the cheek.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't mean to try. He actually does. Yeah. So he steals a kiss from Kim. That sly dog. That was, you know, good job, Skull. Good job. Especially with the episode that actually preceded this one, which we'll talk about at the end.
Basically, we're just going to bring Skull full circle here for you guys.
Yes. And it's actually funny. It's like, I'm also coming full circle on this too, because I'm totally feeling Bulk on this, but then I'm totally feeling Skull in the other round. Zed plans to take over the North Pole.
Yeah.
And force Santa and the elves to make Zed toys that will put the kids under a spell.
Yep.
And then after he does that, that's when we hear the Hanukkah song. And I will give them credit. They didn't butcher it.
Still not good enough. I'm sorry.
I know it's not good enough, but at least they didn't butcher it.
I mean, it's kind of hard to butcher. It's not. It's literally written for children to sing.
But you'd be surprised. But you will have to admit, at least there's more Jewish representation in this one episode than in Marvel Cinematic Universe combined.
I mean, look, there's more Jewish representation in Power Rangers than in, like, Star Wars, Star Trek, DC and Marvel movies combined. So, like, not exactly high tier, like, right? But, like, That's not even my... Also, bear in mind this for our audience. This is the last time we have a Jewish reference to anything until SPD.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
I just want to throw this out there, that after the Hanukkah song, we go to the North Pole where Rito invades Santa's workshop, which I am actually 100% okay with this.
But how did he do it, though?
He just showed up.
Huh?
Right. He just showed up.
But it's just like, it doesn't, like, this is just kind of sad. Like,
I don't care about how he got there. I am approving Rito invading Santa's workshop and threatening elves and Santa. I am okay with this. I wish he would have kicked some of the little elves around, you know, show them.
What did they ever do to you? Jesus.
Everything.
Okay. In other news, in the next episode of Voices from the Grid, Sasha will explore Michael's elf-induced PTSD. This is what happens when you are overworked and stressed and doing a podcast while going to grad school and also working full time. There you go. These are the jokes, people.
But I am still 100% Team Rito on all this right now. Santa.
All right, I'll give it. I think the irony here is that like Zed is voiced by a Jewish actor. Who's just like bah humbugging Christmas, but then gives him credit here. His plan is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
On the other hand, why does he waste time getting the elves and Santa to do it when he and Rita have magic and they have Finster that can literally just like make things? So like it seems kind of spiteful to force. I mean, I get it. It's their villains.
Well, here's the thing, and actually Ben and I. Spoiler alert, we've recorded the next episode already, Ben and I. Finster actually got used to go down and take something and turn it into a monster. And it failed miserably because that's just not how Finster works. He has to create stuff himself. If it's not something that he creates himself, it doesn't have the effect that he wants.
So then where did the bombs come from? Because Zed's not exactly...
Zed just pulls it out of nowhere. I mean, he just goes, he has like a, like the Batman utility belt. He just pulls one of those things out. It just expands and then he just chucks the bomb, but he hasn't been using the bomb.
I
want to
know where he keeps the pockets.
Yeah. It's, you don't want to know.
That's what I said. I don't
want to
know.
Zed has some fetishes that we don't want to talk about.
Hey, here. Hey, this is a kid's show.
But anyway,
I'm in charge now, all right? Don't make me put a G rating on you.
And then, obviously, Zordon sends the Rangers. Oh, by the way, Rito doesn't know this, and neither does Goldar, where they're there at the workshop. But Zordon tells the Rangers, oh, when you go to the North Pole, you don't have your powers.
Which doesn't really make sense. Like, you could make an argument that, you know what? I'm going to borrow Ben's phrase. This is not how science works. But there's this whole bit about how the electromagnetic waves of Santa's workshop, I guess, mess with the alien frequency, the BS science. But
yeah.
Power Rangers are a force of, like, Rito's, you could make the argument that, like, Rito and Goldar's powers wouldn't work, or I guess Rito's flaming sword, because Santa's workshop is full of goodness and, you know, good spirit. He's a positive figure, right? So that, but then like, why does the Power Rangers not have access to their powers? Like, okay, maybe they can't morph, but do they also not have access? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So the Rangers arrive, they set up a trap for Rito. The elves are also plotting. I'll give them credit. They're a crafty bunch. Goldar and Rito get sent packing after they lose a snowball fight to the Rangers and attack from the elves.
Well, they don't really come up with the idea themselves, though, because Kim and Aisha show up and they're like, they call the head elf lady and they're like, hey, we're going to need your help.
Yeah.
But yeah, kudos to the elves for not taking it lying down.
And then the Rangers help the elves and Santa with the toy production. And Santa sends the Zed toys back to Bandora's palace. And yeah.
Gotta give Santa credit for being spiteful and just like setting that back.
It's like, hey, guess what? We're just going to re-gift this right back to you.
Oh, there is a very existing plot thread that is, it's super important to mention. But the little girl is very sad because her daddy works and can't make it to the holiday festival. And then Kim has to leave with the Rangers, so she looks for Kim. And then Bulk's like, "Well, we have to go. We're gonna go get Santa, and we'll ask Santa to help find Kimberly." And then her dad shows up. The little girl's dad shows up at the holiday. I keep saying Christmas.
Just say the juice bar. Just say the juice bar. It's okay.
They show up to the Christmas festival, and it. She's like, oh, her dad is there and she's happy and Kimberly's there. And then she goes and sits on Santa's lap. And she's like, I already got what I wanted for Christmas. And she gives Bulk a little kiss on the cheek and it's very cute. But she's not the best kid in this episode. That is the kid that sits on Bulk's lap with a freaking parchment list, which is full of Power Ranger toys. Like, if this is not like subliminal messages of like, kids, here are the toys you want your parents to buy you for Christmas this year. Like, I don't know what is.
Yeah. I mean, it's a nice little arc for Bulk because like he showed up all grumpy and stuff, still feel that mood. But he gets a nice little full circle moment at the end where he's, you know, he's essentially the hero in a way, at least in that kid's eyes.
Also, I hope this now excuses us from having to go through any other Christmas specials, because I'm now excusing myself from all the other Christmas episodes until SPD. That is the only other Christmas episode I want to cover.
Let's be brutally honest here. The only reason that we are doing this episode is because we got the Adam Park trilogy in season two. This is pure spite from Ben.
I mean, we were all at that planning meeting, so it's not like he, you know, sneakily plugged this in. We just sort of laughed at the irony and we're like, fine, yeah, we'll do it.
But we had an opportunity to make this a solo episode so we can have an even 20 episodes this season.
As one of the most underrepresented demographics in Power Rangers. We're not even kidding. But yeah, seriously though, as one of the most underrepresented demographics in Power Rangers, we have suffered through this Christmas episode for you. You're welcome. Yeah,
let's do final face-off now. Let's just move on.
Oh wait, there's one more note I have here. If you're gonna make something a holiday pageant, maybe say Happy Holidays at the end instead of Merry Christmas. Like, if you're gonna, like, look, I don't have a problem with wishing people Merry Christmas, right? Or Happy Holidays. Whatever you want to wish me, that's fine. I will say thank you and move on and hope you have a great day. But like, if you're gonna make something into a multicultural, multi-holiday event, like, either do it or don't. Because this is just half-assed. All right, now
we can move on. Final face-off.
Huh?
Final face-off.
There you go. All right, so we are at a museum.
Woo,
and museum. Kimberly is not there because her role is being slowly reduced for, you know, reasons that we will get to in a bit. But Kim is training for the Pan Global Games. So she went to the museum earlier. And now our, where's that, my note here? I have a fashion.
Like, at this point right now, while you're looking for your note, we're kind of in that part of a 10 episode arc.
Yep.
That is working on phasing out Kim at this point.
That Ben and I, that started with Ben and I actually in the episode where we meet our not the episode where we meet our feline friend, but the episode that first introduces the global games, which was, I think it was Follow That Cab.
Yeah, because I know Ben and I actually do the episode that is Ranger Catastrophe, which is the one that introduces Catherine.
Yeah, so we do the follow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can we? Is it just me? And this is a fashion note, but I'm starting to notice that jeans are becoming more mainstream. Like, are Power Rangers just a walking advertisement for Levi's right now? Because literally,
well, that was the time in the 90s, like, where people started wearing like blue jean pants and shirts and jackets and stuff like that. Like, I'm not gonna grow up in
a different country, so, but it's funny to me because
I'm not gonna lie, I was rocking the jean jacket with the jean pants.
Jean jackets date back to like the 80s, so they're not new, but like, It's funny to me because Adam and Rocky and Billy and Tommy are all wearing literally the exact same pair of jeans. Literally.
I mean, I guess it helped cut down on costs for clothing.
I mean, did it though?
Probably. I don't know.
All right. So aside from walking fashion disasters that would give Joan Rivers a heart attack, we are Bulk and Skull are also there. They don't, they can't fail their history project because then they won't get to be junior detectives and whatnot. That's a really important plot thread that I'm sure is going to go somewhere. So we find out that the masks are part of this ancient culture exhibit on some fictional culture. And the coup de grace is that there is a urn that has a face-stealing monster inside. And I literally looked at the episode and said, Avatar did it better. Because
Avatar was given the source material to make their episode better.
Ko the Face Stealer is so much cooler than this. Also, why are Squat and Babu back this season?
Because you need to send somebody down with Rito from time to time. That's not just Tangas.
Do you though? I mean, like, you can send them with Goldar. Like, that's their dynamic's kind of funny.
That's a Zio thing. Come on now.
It's like that's like missed them. I didn't even notice they were gone until they reappeared. I'm like, oh, huh, I haven't seen you guys in a while. You're important. Okay, so Rocky has an ugly car. And I think it's like a Mercury Sable or something. And they do random distracting flips as they face off against Rito. There's a lot of posing. But they do get to like utilize some ninja powers, which is always kind of cool. Like there's that scene where Rocky's like doing ninja like speed things around the Tango, which was kind of cool.
The one where I think it was Rocky. He went for the tree.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There is a funny moment where Rito, Squat, and Babu pose as statues, though, and they have like signs. That was pretty cute. Like, of course, the kids won't notice. Also, though, like they just kind of walk into the museum
casually,
right?
Strolling on through. It's like, hey, how's it going? Yeah.
Clearly, this is not a museum in Washington, D.C., because the security here is terrible. I have good. Oh, one of the things I do enjoy is the relationship between Rita and Rito, because it actually does have a lot of like accurate sibling energy.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun, but
and we can both vouch on that because you have a brother and I have two sisters, so we know the sibling aspect.
Yep. Yeah, so then the conveniently stolen relic that Zordon is, of course, already knows a lot about. But Zordon ultimately, so Billy asks him, like, hey, Zordon, can Rita and Zed actually make this a thing? And Zordon's reaction is like, oh, well, we don't know if the myth is real or not. And I'm like, yeah, Zordon, uh-huh.
Sure. Hey, Zordon, then why did you tell him that they needed Titanus from season one?
There it is. Because this is the first time we've seen Titanus since then, right?
Yeah, this is the first time we legitimately have seen Titanus since season one. And I'm literally going, how are you?
Well, they finally found new AAA batteries for him. So,
you know. Well, no. That's Serpentera that you got to think about with the batteries. But for Titanus, it's like, here's the thing with Titanus, it really doesn't make sense because it's like the whole dynamic of Titanus. And here's the thing, I have not watched, you know, Brian has, so he could probably talk about this a lot better than I can. I actually have not sat down and watched Kaku Ranger, which is the season what is essentially based off of for like the Zord battles and stuff like that. I have it on DVD. I just need to watch it at some point. But I don't ever remember anything about Titanus being mentioned in Kaku Ranger at all, ever. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Brian can correct me on that because he is our Sentai expert and everything. But it's just so random because we were so, because like it's like Titanus is in Jiranger, which is what Mighty Morphin's based off of.
And like they don't really do much with Titanus anyway.
Well, they create that, like, essentially what they use Titanus for in season one, which is create that ultra megazord thing.
Well, yeah, no. So Titanus' his reintroduction was random, and you know, I'm sure he'll be he'll be used a lot from now on.
I think it max three times.
Yeah. Okay. Well. All right. Fine. So they'll need Titanus for hashtag reasons. And then also it should be noted that the first time Kimberly actually appears in this episode is actually in the command center, and then she quickly morphs. And then face plaster.
Yeah, I feel bad for Bulk and Skull. They become the first one to, like, they're on the case. I love how they've just been on the case the entire time, and then they become the first victims.
Pretty much on par.
And then you get
with the football.
And then it happens to Adam and Aisha too. And it's like
face plaster.
And it's like you feel bad, really bad for Adam at this point. Because he doesn't even really get used this season. Like season two, Adam Park was the star. This season, he's like the afterthought ranger.
Yeah, this is like, well, right now there's a lot of focus on Kimberly and her relationship with Tommy.
They're building up Aisha.
Are a couple of like Billy related episodes that happened that Ben and I covered, but we also that I cover with Brian, sorry, but there's also like weird episodes where the Rangers keep getting turned into stuff.
Yeah, Ben and I talked about that too. Ben and I actually cover the episode where Billy gets his last real moment as the Blue Ranger, which is when he actually defeats a monster by himself.
Yeah, and then we have those two random Rocky episodes where Rocky has...
he just wants to have fun.
It's sad that that's become a meme now with us, but I feel bad for Adam and I feel bad for Aisha. Like, but
I don't feel as bad. I don't feel as bad for Aisha because
at least with Adam will still be a character after this season.
But the thing is though, is that I don't feel bad for Aisha because what they do with Aisha this season leads up to what she does in her last episode. They actually do a slow build for her as well. So like, as they're doing the slow build for Kim for her eventual departure and stuff like that, and the build on Catherine, they also are doing a build on Aisha at the exact same time. You know, maybe like, not as in your face as the other two were, but it's still there. And that's why I don't feel as bad for Aisha as I do for Adam, because Adam literally is an afterthought this season.
Adam, but yeah, no, seriously though, but point being, they are they're covered in face plaster. It's not even like it's like the makeup artist or whoever made it didn't even try to hide the fact that this is just like a piece of film or what, like a piece of plaster is just covering their faces. Like it's really, really funny. And I get, you know, technology and whatnot, but like you could have at least made it like blended it a little bit.
Yeah. The Rangers seek Azina at the exhibit and borrow the mask.
Azina is the museum exhibit liaison person.
Yeah. The masks work and deflect the beam and free all the faces that were stolen. Hooray.
Wait a minute. Rewind.
No rewind.
Rewind. There is a beam of light that steals the faces of the Rangers, right? Or this is Bulk and Skull. Then it steals the faces of Aisha and Rocky.
Adam.
How the hell is that possible when they're wearing helmets?
Because they need these special super duper masks that are perfect just for this guy. Because logic. because we have to follow the myth of the legend.
And then there's also this bit where I think it was Alpha who's like, oh, we have to break the spell. I'm like, it's not a spell, it's a beam. It's not a spell. He basically shoots a laser that steals your face. And I guess the masks repel his energy nonsense.
Yeah, but one of the best parts about this is, and I'm looping backwards just a little bit, is that Bulk and Skull are on the case to find the urn. Like, that's what they're supposed to do right now. That's why they lost their faces.
Yep.
Now the Rangers have borrowed the masks from the exhibit.
Yep.
Well, guess what? You know, the team's back at full strength, Ninja Megazord time with Titanus, because we need Titanus for toys, maybe? They get the victory. This is possibly one of the saddest things, because it makes you go, who are the real bullies here? Bulk and Skull are back at the exhibit. They see the Rangers coming over with the masks and the urn. And Bulk and Skull say, aha, we will take it from here. To which the Rangers go, okay, here you go. Have fun. And Bulk and Skull get arrested as a result.
Which, like, first of all, fudge you to the Rangers. But also, like, how stupid are these security guards? Because, like, they're literally wearing police uniforms. And they told, what was her name? Azina. That they were going to find the urn. They told her. So, like, this is one of those cases where it's like, it's not just the Ranger's fault. It's also just incompetency of the government of Angel Grove.
Yeah, it's like, I felt bad for Bulk and Skull because they didn't deserve that at all.
No, they did not.
Yeah.
All right. One more episode left of this episode.
And I'm going to say this right now. This is probably one of my, after rewatching all season three, this probably is one of my more favorite episodes of the season.
Yeah, this is an episode that had a surprising amount of heart to it, and pun intended.
Yeah. And it's actually why I said at the beginning of the episode, like when I related the Bulk in regards to the whole Christmas episode thing, I really relate to Skull in this one too. And we'll get to that when we get to that.
Yeah, so Bulk and we open with Bulk and Skull trying to sell tickets to the Junior Police Ball. And there's a crack about how, you know, Tommy should be romantic and take Kimberly out to this dance and whatnot. And Rita and Zed want to go somewhere because, oh my God, guys, Serpentera's finally recharged.
Ah, there we can go with the battery joke now.
I mean, I can make battery jokes anywhere I want.
But it makes more sense with Serpentera.
I know, but I made the joke specifically to connect the pointlessness of Titanus's use to Serpentera. There's no point in explaining the joke. Waste. Anyway. Serpentera is fully charged, or so we're told, and they're going to go on another honeymoon.
Goldar's in charge.
I forgot Goldar is a character sometimes.
My notes is literally on this little segment here is Reed and Zed go on vacation. Goldar's in charge. Rito's an idiot, but a smart idiot.
He's an unintentionally smart idiot. It's sort of like, you know, how like, He's the bumbling villain that somehow manages to occasionally stumble upon a good idea. So we find out that there's a monster that Finster's been cooking or whatever. But Finster finally spills the beans about that little thing he helped Rita with back in last season.
The love potion.
Okay. right. So for those that don't remember, Rita kind of whammied Zed into falling in love with her. Or did she? We will find out. So Rito gets the love potion because as stupid as he is, he gets into the very, very, like, for a moon base, you'd think he'd have something stronger than a basic lock. to keep something as important as the you know, secrets hidden, but whatever. So Rito takes it and blasts the monster, and the monster falls in love with Rito. And he sends her down to make stuff happen, basically, to mess with people. It's a good play. It's kind of fun. I wish we'd sort of had a little bit more of this than the squabbling between, like, Goldar and Rito and shenanigans. But yeah.
Because, like, right off the bat, the monster uses the love potion on Kimberly, and she falls in love with Skull.
Yep.
Lieutenant Stone, who then falls in love with Miss Appleby. Bulk.
So many levels.
Yeah, and then Bulk, who falls in love with Aisha. So, like, those are your three main ones right there. Obviously, there's other little ones throughout the thing as well. But, yeah.
It's just, Tommy's face is so funny in this episode. I cannot even. Just, like, when he has this realization that Kim is, like, into Skull, he's just like, my girlfriend is talking to Skull. But she's my girlfriend. This can't happen. Like, it's one of those, like, shock, astonishment, and there is no way a hot girl like Kimberly can ditch me for a guy like Skull. I'm not wrong. That is legit the reaction. So yeah, Lieutenant Stone falls in love with Miss. I should have been a first grade teacher. That is my very long-winded nickname for Miss Appleby, because she's a terrible teacher. It is interesting that this is sort of the in fighting, I've noticed there's kind of a trend of pairing Adam and Aisha. They sort of play off each other a little bit. But yeah, I'll give it credit that, like, when Rangers get whammied, though, sometimes, like, in Ninja Storm, right, there's also a weird moment where love shenanigans happen, but the love potion is so strong that it literally overrides everything else, including Ranger duty. So they're fighting amongst each other.
Yeah.
Right. I think that was the Everyone Loves Luthor episode. But
I mean, I like, at least with this Tanga fight, like, Kimberly, she's like, oh no, I have to protect Skull, you know, and then she goes into battle to protect Skull. And I'm just like, that's hilariously awesome.
It's actually, like, whammied Kim is kind of adorable. Like, she's a lot less annoying. The love potion doesn't override her ability to do her ranger duties. It just makes her fall in love with Skull, which is funny, because I don't think that's the desired effect that Rito is hoping for. But then they're all in the command center, and they're like, so Kimberly's acting weird. And she's like, Mrs. Kimberly Hartskalovich. It's so funny. It's so funny.
Yeah. And then you're actually back at the school, and Kim's acting all gaga over Skull. And then, hey, it's Principal Kaplan. We haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
And then he gets hit with the love potion. He gets hit with it. He sees Miss Appleby. Now he's fawning all over Miss Appleby. So Miss Appleby's got Principal Kaplan and Lieutenant Stone fawning over her because of the love potion. And then Finster goes around breaking the spell with the antidote.
Well, wait. There's other stuff that sort of happens in between, though. Because Rita and Zed are about to go on their second honeymoon, even though they've kind of been squabbling a bit, which seems to be they're on par. But then we find out that Rito forgot to recharge the batteries. So they're forced to turn around and go back. Meanwhile, Goldar finds out what happened. And he tells Finster to create an antidote so he can turn Zed back to normal, and so he can get rid of Rita. So, but it doesn't work. Well, although we do get a hilarious moment of Rita falling for Goldar, and he's just weirded out, and then Finster uses the anti-love potion, and then she's grossed out, but then it doesn't work on Zed.
Yep. And of course, while all this is going on, the Rangers re-engage the monster because Zed resends the monster back down, but without the love potion effect to it, and but with more of an edge to it. And of course, Rangers win because LOL, Rangers have to win. Yeah, Goldar still wants to try to ruin Zed and Rita's marriage. Yeah, good luck. Good luck, Goldar.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll work totally.
Mm-hmm. Now, with Finster breaking the spell with the antidote and stuff like that, you know, Kim really breaks Skull's heart. Yeah. And there's this really great moment to end this episode. And this is one of the reasons why I love this episode so much, but I also can relate to Skull at the same time. You know, looking back at it now, because like when you're like 10 years old, you don't understand, but like now you do.
Yeah.
You know, you're at the junior police ball, you know, Tommy and Kim are dancing, you know, I think it was like Aisha and Adam or
Billy asks Aisha to dance.
Yeah. I think Adam or Rocky asked somebody else to dance or something like that.
Rocky does. Yeah. Adam's not allowed a girlfriend for some reason.
I know. Again, he's the most underutilized and most afterthought Ranger in this season. But, there's a great moment though where Kim sees Skull sulking at a table by himself, like really sad and heartbroken. And she goes to Skull, she apologizes, and they essentially, you know, make amends. And then she asks Skull if he wants to go dance with her.
Well, they make a point to say like let's be friends thing, and I'm like, Kimberly, the Power Rangers and Vulcan Skull are not allowed to be friends until like in space.
But here's the thing though, this is a legitimate turning point.
Yes.
For Vulcan Skull and the Rangers, and Ben and I actually talk about it in Another Brick in the Wall, where it's a very clear case of that.
Well, it was long overdue.
Yeah, so like this right here, but then, you know, and this is the part where I relate to Skull. It's like, you know, you have and this is something that, you know, and this is something I was also thinking about before I get to the point. Skull has actually been like enthralled, probably not the best word, but I'm going to use
it. He's had a crush on Kim for a while, yes.
Since like season one, and it's something that has been established essentially from the very first episode of My
Power Rangers? Remembering continuity?
You know, and like it was something that they played up in Power Ranger Punks when, you know, Billy and Kim had the spell put on them that made them into punks, and like she's all over Skull and stuff like that. So there's just been arc really not really touched on too much all the time, but it's always been there. And then like he has that heartbreaking moment, and then he has the makeup with Kim where they're able to be, you know, good friends and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, I look at that, you know, in a way in like my life, it's like, you know, how many times have I gone through that? You know, Sasha, how many times have you gone through that where you've been on that end of like Skull, where there may have been somebody that you really liked, you had that opportunity, and then it kind of, you know, backfired a little bit. You know, we all have that happen to us as, you know, as life goes on. So, you know, it was just a good, relatable moment that really resonates really well. And it's actually one of the few things that really, you know, when we look back at stuff from like the 90s and we go, oh, well, that's good old 1990s racism, you know, with the color schemes and stuff like that that they originally did in the beginning and other things. But then you look at this and you go, like, you can look back on this episode and go, this actually stands pretty well on its own all these years later.
It is one of the few moments that's sort of very humanizing, because one of the things is like Vulcan Skull are very theatrical characters, right? Like, yes, they're very human compared, they're very normal compared to the Rangers, but they're still sort of very flamboyant, very out of this world sort of. So this is actually a very nice nod to continuity. And it's also a very humanizing moment for everybody, because it reminds us at the end of the day, like, these are teenagers with feelings. we're going to quickly forget about that again in like 2 seconds. But for this like half a second, we're going to remind you that these are teenagers with like problems.
It reminds you that people are human. You know.
Except for the Power Rangers, but yes. Speaking of human moments, one of the things that we forgot to mention when we were doing Dreaming of a White Ranger, because there is...
Oh, do we have to go back to that episode?
We have to. There's a very important moment that sort of ties into what you were saying, is that, as far as I know, this is one of the few or last moments where Kim and Tommy actually kiss.
Believe so, potentially. Because
kissing is not allowed in Power Rangers for, I don't know.
Unless you're Tommy.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's a weird thing in Power Rangers for some reason.
Although, if I remember right, at the end of Super Mega Force, the Yellow and Green Ranger kissed at the very end, if I remember right.
Did they? Don't remember that.
I believe so, because the Green Ranger was always hitting on the Yellow
Ranger. No, I'm not saying, no, look, I'm not saying there aren't moments, but by and large, there's very few on-screen moments like this.
I don't think Dreaming of a White Ranger was the last one between Kim and Tommy. I think we got a few more, because obviously with the whole, you know, the Kim arc.
I don't know. It just sort of feels kind of, they sort of emphasized it a lot to me, because they're constantly like being interrupted by under the mistletoe. But anyway,
that's because it's a holiday episode and they want to get their bit in. Doesn't
mean anything to me. But point being that like Tommy and Kim's relationship is something that has been kind of like, it sort of exists and then it doesn't at times, just because writers don't know how to write things like this. And as much as I don't like them as a couple or like them period, I think it is a nice sort of nod to the fact that, like, you know, teenagers date. And this is like, I'm honestly surprised how few Power Ranger couples there actually are, because if you think about it, these are characters that have literally been through war, some literally, some, you know, warlike, but these are characters that have gone through trauma. They've gone to hell and back for each other. So like, there's at least one couple that like has to, at least one that gets together every season, and like, it should keep going.
I think the next time we get that, kind of in space.
Within space, there's a really great, first of all, Andros and Ashley had really great chemistry, and I think that really helped a lot of things. But what I really liked about that relationship was that there's a strong friendship that was established in a way that was different from the friendship that Ashley had with the other characters. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because like there's because I'm thinking about it now, it was like you had in space with Ashley and Andros.
I mean, Kat and Tommy, but like that was sort of just dumped in there.
But yeah. I think the next one after that, though, legitimately was Time Force with Wes and Jen.
Well, yeah. Well, Lightspeed Rescue had the Green Ranger with Miss Fairweather, Bellwether. Yeah,
but we're talking about like Ranger and Ranger. Miss Fairweather wasn't an actual Ranger.
Fine, lost.
But you do have a good point on that.
Galaxy
didn't have one in Lost Galaxy.
No,
you
ninjas.
He had one in Mega Force, Super Mega Force.
Hold on. We're gonna go in order. So Time Force definitely. Ninja Storm. The Thunder Ranger and the Blue Ranger. Dino Thunder sort of played around with the idea of Kira and Trent, but didn't really go anywhere with it.
That's because they had Tommy with the baddie.
Well, that didn't happen either. So, let's see. Mystic Force had Nick and the Blue Ranger. It happened at the end, but there was like Overdrive, Jungle Fury, the Yellow and Blue Rangers for sure. Because I think they do actually go on a date, so that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Dino Charge, the Red and Pink Rangers. And yeah, I think that was the last. Oh no, you had the Gold and Yellow Ranger in Beast Morphers.
Yeah. Yeah, because I knew the Yellow Ranger and the Black Sash Green Ranger in Megaforce, Super Megaforce was one thing that they played off of the entire season.
I think she like finally agrees to go on a date with him at the end.
She actually kisses him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the last episode of the season or the series.
Typical. So. Power Rangers needs to... Anyway, I think that is all that we have time for, but I think we covered these episodes. Any final thoughts on these three episodes that were sort of just kind of tossed together?
Potion Notion, hands down, best episode of the three.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was fun watching Kimberly behave ridiculously. She always seemed very uptight to me.
Like, let's be honest. Seeing Kim get sassy in the past and then finally getting to see her go gaga over something was kind of a nice 180 a little bit. Because, like, Kim, I've always joked, like, Kim can bring the sass. I'm all about sassy Kim. But cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs or cuckoo for Skull, Kim, I'm perfectly okay with too.
She was fun. I think it's a good, it's definitely the best episode out of the three. But yeah, this season just kind of feels, I don't know how to describe the season. There's a lot of changes happening. There's a lot of things that are being set up, and just so far, I'm not sure what to make of it, but we shall see what happens once we actually get to the end.
And, you know, and Ben said this, I think in the next episode, I think next episode is Ranger Catastrophe. I don't remember, but Ben actually said it best. This is the one season where they actually do long-term planning.
Yeah.
Like seasons one and two had no real long-term planning. This is the first season where there's actually been a long-term plan. And there's actually multiple long-term plans because obviously, you know, the storyline for Kim, the storyline for Catherine, the storyline for Aisha, you know, the eventuality of the Zeo crystals, you know, so like there's a lot of, you know, plans in motion at this point now. And we don't really see that.
The writers actually sat down this time and had a conversation with each other. So that helps. But yeah. So with all of that in mind, Michael, where can the people find you on the social medias?
In the depths of hell known as Twitter, at the Lindenbaum 75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, Twitch doing that gamer thing, or maybe in real life, because I do convention stuff now on Twitch as well. Who knows, maybe by the time this episode airs, I might be at a convention doing something live on Twitch. At twitch.tv/themichaelx75. And then, of course, everything else for me is on the website, which is txhthockey.com, where you can find this show at /VFTG. The Twitter for the show is @VFTG_PR. And, of course, you can listen to the older show that Sasha and I do together, Nerdy Notions, at txhthockey.com/nerdy-notions.
Got them all. All right. And for me exclusively, you can find me whining about Jewish representation on geekgirl101.tumblr.com. And you can find me tweeting about the lack of Jewish representation on Twitter at Geeky Kaplan. Kaplan, that is with Kaplan with a K, after the greatest superhero in the entire comic book universe of Marvel, Billy Kaplan, aka our current Royal Space Wizard. And of course, again, Twitter at VFTG_PR. Tweet at us, let us know what you think of the show, and check us next time. Come back and listen to more of our random musings when Voices from the Grid returns.
And until next episode, may the power protect you.